Today's episode, we're going to try to get caught up on everything that's been going on, from Trump actually taking on a criminal trial to somebody setting themselves on fire and things around the world just looking like a real shakeup is happening, quote unquote. We'll get to talk a little bit about an earthquake that hit New Jersey as well, and I think it'll be fun to just dive into everything that we've been missing as we've been avoiding the news for a little bit. I'll be right with you. We'll follow along as 2024 continues to be one of the more odd years that I've taken any part in since I've been alive. So here we go. So 2024, Trump's been on trial basically all year, which has been interesting, but this week, I believe, marks the first time that we've ever had a president actually under fire criminally. It's pretty important, not just that it gets done right, but one of the things that has to be understood is that everything here is politicized. Everything looks like it's coming from one side or the other. If we're to believe that it were to have a fair election in 2024, you would think they would wait on prosecuting anything like this because you now have the two sides fully selected. And I'm not trying to be any sort of partisan. I'm not really rooting for either one of these candidates because, to be totally fair with you and to be consistent with myself, I don't really view either of them as a real positive force moving into the future, especially starting 2020. That being said, looking where we're at, the trial here is very interesting, right? Because this is something that I believe has already been hashed out, everything with Stormy Daniels. And all it is a misuse of funds is what they seem to be trying to get him on. It is interesting to me, I would think, because I, for one, would think it's not unachievable. And I want you to let me know if you disagree here, but I don't think it's unachievable to have presidents and high status figures running our country that are clean individuals. Now, understand that in order to make a deal, you, in some way, shape, or form, you might be dipping your foot maybe into grounds that are a little muddy. I guess you can understand that, but I truly don't think it's unbelievable to have a set of leaders that are not just as dirty as it seems the ones that we have now. You look at people like Schumer, Pelosi, Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush, both Bushes, Clintons. Okay. Of course, I'm forgetting about McConnell, who will be shortly out of here. When you look at all these individuals, all you think is dirty, right? All you think is the kind of deals that they set themselves to in order to maintain their power. Yes, that's my point. I don't think that we need that, right? And if you look back, what is a fondly looked at president or fondly looked at leader nowadays? And it's really people that are dead, long dead. So what does it take? I guess we got to look a little bit in, and I'm trying to look inward to myself. And is there people out there? And I'm really not sure. I want you guys to let me know what you're thinking about a future leader. Like, even if you look at RFK, there's not a good third party option, in my opinion. Just thinking off the cuff, it's really the only challenging candidate. And he's shown himself to be as compromised specifically to left-wing authoritarianism, to be completely honest with you. And I'm not really good for signing up with that. Now, do I think we're going to get anything different out of the other two candidates? No. That's what's going to make it so hard for me to vote in 2024. I really want you guys to let me know if you're thinking about voting in 2024 and if this case has anything to do with how you're going to make a decision, if you're going to make a decision, if your decision's already made up. Because for most people, as I understand it, they either support Trump and they're not really going to care what comes out of him, out about him, or the other way around, they hate him and there it doesn't matter what comes out. They're already made their decision. Let me know if you're still on the fence. To me, I really don't know. My decision is made. I just don't know if I'm going to vote, to be honest, because, well, if I do, I really just might vote for someone who's not even running. And with that, it kind of feels like a throwaway. Don't know if I really want to do that. Haven't made my mind up. I want you guys to let me know what you think, where you think you're going. Is it weak for me not to vote for Trump? Yeah, go ahead and tell me. Tell me in the comments and explain your reasoning why. Because I'm finding it pretty damn hard to side with someone who doesn't really, I don't think, have the best interests of our country, regardless. Case in point is going to be what's going on with Israel, right? Israel keeps on keeping on basically, the stuff that I'm seeing, I'm really not trying to watch the news. Or I should rephrase that. I'm trying not to watch the news anymore. So I don't know the daily ins and outs, but I do get the feeling, especially on Twitter, scrolling through, and the feeling that I get from people on the right is that it's kind of like a shame thing. That if you're not on board here supporting Israel's right, then you're a bad conservative. And I just can't, I understand, I knew that tactic would come eventually, but I find it so weak, especially as a Republican, as a conservative. Your whole value is supposed to be you're trying to conserve, you're not trying to waste clearly concerted efforts to undermine the United States' power and ability to wage meaningful economic sanctions on the world stage, being as though we're supporting both sides of this war at this point completely, and you have no control over Israel. I think you're putting yourself at quite a disadvantage, and you see that disadvantage as well carrying into, of course, what's going on again in Ukraine and Russia. You have another uptick, as we were talking about it with Damon a couple weeks ago, and huge shout out to him for giving us a shout out. I could not be more appreciative. If we got any of you new people from his show staying on, I'd really be curious, if you're not from the United States, what you're seeing out of the Ukraine-Russia front, if there's any actual updates, right? Like, we're hearing here that we have some drone strikes that came in. And to be honest, it's really hard to believe that any progress is going to be made, especially after hearing, if anybody else listened to that, the interview between Tucker Carlson and Putin. Putin kind of gave away his hand a little bit, insofar as doesn't seem like he's going for utter all-out victory. It seems like he's looking for a deal to be made. Okay. So if he's looking for a deal to be made and no one's coming to the table, what does that tell you? Right? The same thing is happening with Israel. And I think that it really goes to show how much, I don't want to attribute it to poor leadership, weak leadership, because there's a very good possibility that this is what the leaders want. Okay. And you think about what happened with World War II. Okay. And the amount of people that will go back and they will chastise someone like Neville Chamberlain for not being stronger against Hitler from the beginning, right? Not being stronger with Stalin and creating, well, I don't know what was the end goal. I don't really know, because at the end, if you look at it really from the Allied perspective, right? How are you going to get the United States into the war to help you win it? Because yes, although things were starting to really be won on the Eastern Front, especially with Russia, but when you look at the grand scheme of things and looking in the totality of the war, the number of deaths and casualties was unseen. And in order to get to a situation, when you look at the long run of things, now by that time, Neville Chamberlain was long gone, by the time bodies were dropping like that on the Western Front. But when you're looking at it from that perspective of the Allies did not have the United States bought in to go to war automatically from the get-go, and you look at it from that perspective and how much of a draw it is to get that economy and all of those bodies, all of those well-trained people, get them on your side, well, if you think about it from that perspective, you need the war to get dirty. You need the war to get nasty. You need to make it all at war. Okay. And when you look at it from that perspective, it kind of makes sense as to why it's not beneficial to come to the table at this point, right? Because if you're going to concede a victory when you're not actually at the end of the day looking for that specific deal, if you feel like you have an advantage that you can pull over the long haul, that's when you don't make a deal, right? So if you're looking at it from that perspective, there's probably a reason why there hasn't been a deal made on either of these wars. And it's scary, because that tells you that we're headed for a larger conflict, at least in my opinion. It's pretty obvious. Doesn't really matter how we get there. I think we're already, you know, you see the stuff between that I mentioned on the last show with Israel actually making overt efforts against Iran. You're just pulling people into the conflict that you know is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and balloon. Where that heads, where that tends, where the Allies, where it ends up coming down with the pledges of allegiance that are made, that's yet to be determined. It seems like it's pretty close what it's going to be. Of course, you have the BRICS nations siding against our other NATO allies, right? And if you can even call it that. So from there, just seeing something weird, says someone's in my audience. So if someone's actually out there, I don't know how you are, but nice to see you. If not, see you guys on the show. Just to get a little bit further and showing you how this impact has become at least noticeable for me and why I wanted to talk about it, was I actually heard that someone outside of this trial for Trump lit himself on fire. And all of a sudden, it seems like, okay, well, this is the new political statement, is setting yourself on fire. What a fucking sick world we live in. That's just, sorry for cursing, but Jesus. Are we at that point where people are just going to try to light themselves on fire to make a point? And then what fucking point are you making by killing yourself in such a gruesome way? It's beyond me. Why you can't use your words, why you can't try to scream and at least get arrested or something. I think you would make the same headlines. Instead of burning yourself on fire, for those who don't remember, we had someone who burned themselves outside of the, I believe it was the Israeli embassy in D.C. or at least something like that. And it was an airman claimed he had information, whatever. Beside the point, point being is someone else also lit themselves on fire this year, second time. And I did a show on it before. And I think it's on, I think it's clickbaity, that the fucking thumbnails that I do. So you can go find it. You can go hear it again in case you're not sure. But this being the second one, what the fuck does this mean for our country? What does it mean that this is the next step in political rhetoric, is that extremists are going to, from whatever side, it doesn't seem like you have much of a side, you're going to melt yourself alive. But that being said, what the hell does that mean for our discourse, for us trying to understand the other side, or trying to, there is none in that. So I think it should be looked at carefully and a little bit more deeply and thought out a little bit better, I would say, on our leader's part. Because I think what they're missing out on is the fact that it's affecting our people very strongly, that we know something much bigger than just an Israeli-Palestine conflict or an Russian-Ukrainian conflict. We know that this is coming. We know something bigger is coming. It's not just this. And we're all, well, not we're all, there's some of us who are just not mentally prepared for that. I think that needs to be looked at in consideration a little bit. In more a little bit more detail by our government and by our leaders, because we're putting ourselves on the edge of a cliff that might not be recovered. We saw what 102 world wars and really all the wars leading up to it has done for our world, and what ways it's caused us to evolve and adapt. This next one might get to proportions that are not solvable, right? There's some people with buttons in this world that can end our lives at all moments. And if you don't know that, before me saying that, I'm sorry you had to hear it from me, but there is someone with a button that can end your, my, and everybody else's life today. It just has to be in the right person's hands, and that's scary. Not just the right person, but the right circumstance as well, because we have seen, realistically, unprecedented restriction in the use of a weapon since its development. Only been used twice by the same country in world history. Now, there's been other chemical attacks, of course, but when you talk about real nuclear device being launched against another nation, it's been happened twice. That's remarkable. That is remarkable. Over almost 80 years now, since the use of those weapons, they've only been used twice in the same war. Let's just be honest, folks. Unless something radical happens, we may be looking at that time coming now. I think it's going to be pretty important to have a little bit more serious leadership and serious people in consideration for these spots. Now, I want to move ahead. I want to talk about something that personally affected me, and I'm sure a lot of you out there, maybe not some of those new folks coming in from Damon's show, like I mentioned, but some of us saw something pretty cool. I would say most of us got a chance to. I know I was working, so it was a little tough, but everybody got a chance, I believe, at least in our hemisphere, to see an eclipse. That was pretty cool. Now, I don't know about you guys. I don't know where you guys were at. For me, I was literally sitting in a machine, sitting in a little mini excavator, looked up and I saw, of course, I had none of these glasses on, so I hope I'm not permanently damaged. I saw it basically like a little crescent of the sun. That's all I saw. So it was pretty cool to see that. The sky got dark and then it kind of lightened up real quick. It didn't get as dark as I think people said it was going to, or at least I didn't think so, but might have been just based on my location. Let me know if you guys were able to see anything. I know Andrew got some cool pictures, and I'll see if he can upload them to the show at a later date, because, like I said, it was a pretty awesome experience to see what he was able to capture. Now, if you live in New Jersey specifically, you might have felt an earthquake, and I really want to know everybody else's kind of experience with that, because to me, so I was working on a job. I was on the job, first of all, with multiple people and actually some people from other companies as well. So there was other people doing work, people actually doing work in a pool basin below us. I thought maybe they hit something in the ground. I thought they were shaking the ground underneath me. I thought I felt something coming through the ground. So immediately I assumed it was them, but then I felt it. I can't even lie, and I can't probably describe this the way that I want to, but I felt the earth sending a jolt through the ground because it felt like it didn't hit my foot yet. then it got there and went through my leg, came up through, like, I felt it in my whole body. And I was like, that's a fucking earthquake. I've never been in one before. And then sure shit, I asked my guys, the guys that I was working with, I was like, do you guys feel that? Yeah, yeah. I was like, I think that was a fucking earthquake. So next couple seconds goes by and sure shit, another one came, and it definitely wasn't anybody working. It was obviously an earthquake. We felt it. And it was just a really cool experience for me, at least. I've never really had something like that happen in New Jersey. New Jersey is not really known, in case you're not sure, for our earthquakes. So very interesting experience for me. I'm not sure how you guys experienced it. I want to know if anybody felt it in buildings, how it was inside, because I wasn't there. That was about it for the show, guys. Don't have too much more, but I want you guys to make some of these connections and understand. Well, first of all, one of the biggest takeaways from today's show, I want you to understand there's a lot to dive deep into what motivates something like war, right? Something like war can also be, when you think about it, a war of words. And that's why I bring up all of these different events that I think are pretty important. If you're paying attention to the news, if you're one of those people, I'm not looking at you as those other people. I mean, if you're one of those type of people that watches the news every day, regardless of how slanted it might be, maybe you understand that it's slanted. If you're one of those people, I want you to tell me, has there been attacks like, oh, this is what it's like when you're not supporting climate change, you get earthquakes in New Jersey? Because I remember when I was wall to wall listening to conservative media, they would make fun of this stuff all the time, but people took it seriously. Like, if you're not supporting climate change bills or legislation, then you're at fault for basically every natural disaster that happens. One of the main reasons that I just don't listen to these people anymore, because I can't take you seriously if you really think that a policy is going to change what's going to happen in the world, especially one as stupid as an omnibus package that happens literally once every two, three months. Come on, get out of here. So regardless, to me, it's all encompassing. If you're not able to stay on the level of discourse of understanding what happened, or maybe if you even lived in it, right? So there's people that might listen to this show out in California making fun of us because of our earthquake thing, but it was real. We felt it, right? And it is something to be said for having that experience, I think, together as our people. And maybe it comes out in being able to connect, being a community, being able to see if there was anybody who needed help from this earthquake, because I don't know. I don't know anybody who felt it much stronger than me. I don't know anybody who felt it less. It's a different experience for us all. And I also want you to totally understand something like war. Going back to that, there's a lot of factors, and there's a lot of people that might be making money off this war. You might even be listening to the show and you're making money off this war that's going on with these wars. Understanding these companies and these people that need this conflict to continue, I think it's very important for us as voters and civilians in a nation to understand why we might be heading to war ourselves, right? When only so much help can be given, only so many weapons, only so much training can be given before it's, I think I mentioned this before, if we're not willing to go step up and put our own bodies on the line, then what the hell are we doing sending all this cash, ammo, weapons, right? We're arming other nations with what could be used to save Americans. And it's going to get to a point where it will be saving Americans, quite literally. There's also going to be a lot of dead Americans at the end of the day. That's what these companies actually get the most money from. Okay? It's a sad thing, and it's something to be looked out for, that who might be profiting on the back end. It might not even be a president. It might be a very small amount of senators. It might be a senator. It might be a congressman. It might be a conglomerate of the two. It might be the president in cahoots. But look deeper. Okay, look at these problems with a little bit more of a lens than just you're an Islamophobe because you don't stand up for the Palestinian rights, or you're anti-Semitic because you're anti-Israeli funds. Like, how about no, I'm anti-supporting a war, and I'm anti-supporting a war that, to be honest, we've been on the side of supporting for damn near since the Israeli existence. Back from 19, if you could trace it back that long, and you could see that problems have only arisen since that time. And of course, Israel didn't just come in 1948, as I talked about in the last one. Go listen to that last one if you need help with that. But Israel being formed the way that it had over the time frame that it did, and really displacing the amount of people that it did, understanding all these points and the former controllers of the area that we call Palestine, well, understanding why this conflict even exists, and the Russia-Ukraine one for that matter, is a great start, I would say, to a foundation of knowledge of why and how this conflict, these conflicts, are going to affect us in the coming future, and why I think it's so important to keep talking about them. Okay, I might not have everything right. I might have nothing right. The whole point is I want to put this out to you so that you understand from my perspective that it's a lot deeper than just, oh, you don't support this side, then you're a hypocrite, then you're not an American. Bullshit. Bullshit. And all I could tell you is up. Keep fighting for what we have, because the faster that we let go away, right? So we let go of everything that we hold dear as Americans, and it is slowly going. As soon as we don't want that free speech, as soon as we don't want that freedom, the real freedom, well, we're going to give that all away to security. We're going to give that all away to companies and to a government that actually doesn't have your best interest at heart. It has its best interest at heart. Understand that a government has the need for you to keep producing other human beings and keep getting cogs in the system. We ain't supposed to die, okay? We're supposed to be really on a life cycle that is projectable. We're supposed to be a number in the system. Numbers in the system that keep making numbers in the system. And as long as we keep acting like we are a part of that system, as long as we don't acknowledge the fact that there's more to the story than just picking a side or thinking that one of two candidates is the solution, well, as soon as we step out of that realm, I think we become Americans again. And I think we stop getting taxed to death. I think we stop giving away our country to interests that don't have our interest at heart. As soon as we stand up for ourselves and realize that, again, selling out our freedoms and specifically our right to free speech, giving this away up for safety, in quotes, it's the wrong move for not only us, but for generations to come. And we will pay for it. Until next time. I wanna be something, not nothing. Trapped inside my dream and I'm running. Running away from these demons. But the feeling's so good, I'ma keep dreaming.